Good morning. It is so good to see everyone here today. That was some of the best worship I've been a part of in a long time, so thank y'all so much. Just hearing God's people sing to Him at this time when we are preparing for Christmas, for the birth of our Savior. Today's sermon is titled True Worship of Christ at Christmas. Pastor Travis, of course, thought it was appropriate that we begin to shift gears from Ecclesiastes and begin focusing on this time of year where we await the celebration of the birth of our Savior. I know that when I'm usually up here, I'm preaching Ecclesiastes, but today I have the pleasure of preaching this sermon on the three wise men who come to see Jesus at Christmas time. So we will be in Matthew chapter 2 today. But before we open up, I would like to just pray over us as we open up God's word, as we read his word, as we study today. So if you would, please pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the birth of your son. Lord, we thank you that his birth declares salvation, Lord, to the world. In our time, Lord, throughout history, there have been times of major strife, of pain, of war, of suffering. And Lord, the truth that rings out throughout the ages is that your Son brings salvation to all. Not just the ending of wars and strife, Lord, but salvation from sin itself. And so as we focus our minds today on your word, preparing ourselves for this season, I pray that we would block out all distraction, all anxiety, all stress, whatever it is we have brought here today, Lord. And Lord, focus on this story which shows us how to truly come to you each Christmas and to truly worship you. And so it is in Jesus' holy and mighty name that I pray. Amen. As I was thinking about this sermon, I thought it might be interesting to research and find out, when we come to Christmas, just how much money do we spend each year on Christmas gifts, right? Because that is the big anxiety coming up, right? Buying Christmas gifts, preparing for Christmas dinners, there's so much we have to buy and get ready for. And so I looked around and I found a statistic that might shock you, and in another sense, it might not shock you, depending. According to the National Retail Federation, as of last year, the total number of sales during Christmas time topped out at $936 billion across the nation. That's how much we spent as a nation on Christmas gifts. So obviously, this is something that is very important to us that we spend a lot of money on each year. And that number, by the way, that $936 billion, is a $47 billion increase from the year before that. So the number just keeps going up and up and up. And I think when we consider those numbers, it kind of puts into perspective, in terms of our culture and especially the business world, why there is such an importance on Christmas every single year in our nation, right? This is a year, certainly, where money can be made during the Christmas season. The Christmas season generates tons of money, and so that's something that people get into and make money on. And I wanted to say that this is not to say, I don't want to seem like a Scrooge here, this is not to say that buying gifts for our family is wrong, or that we should be ashamed for giving things to our loved ones, providing for them. This being a time of giving back and being thankful for what we have, that's not what I'm trying to say at all. The Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, that Jesus himself says it is better to give than to receive. And during Christmas time, of course, giving in love is something that we can do in fulfillment of what Christ has taught us to do. But while we remember this truth and we keep it close to our heart, We should also remember that the greatest gift that has ever been given in all of history is Jesus Christ himself, and to never lose sight of that fact. As we come into the Christmas season, what we all need is not another expensive gift, but rather to celebrate and worship the birth of our Savior. And when considering these numbers, considering the heart of our culture, kind of where we find ourselves, I believe that is exactly what our nation needs. At Christmas time, we find ourselves surrounded by things that compete for our attention, like gifts and dinners and traditions. This is a time when getting gifts and spending time with our family is very important to us, and that is a good thing. That is a blessed thing. That is a righteous thing. As believers, we know that Christmas is a time for the celebration of our Lord, and yet, during this season, we can lose sight of what is really important because we can get so wrapped up in the gifts and the dinners and the traditions and all the things that we have going on. And what we need in the midst of all of the rushing, in all of the buzz, and all of the things that we have to get done is to remember that during this season, what we need is to seek the true worship of our Lord. Today, there are those who speak of Jesus during Christmas time, but only as an afterthought. To them, Jesus is a nice figure who we celebrate each year, and he represents, you know, a figure of general blessing or peace or goodwill. And while Jesus is the King who represents all of these things in their fulfillment, we should also remember that Jesus' birth at Christmas declares that all of those who put their trust and faith in him will be saved. Yes, Jesus brings peace into the world. Yes, Jesus brings love. Yes, Jesus brings unity, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. What a thing to celebrate at Christmas time. Not just peace and unity, but also that salvation has come into the world. You see, at Christmas time, there is a difference between those who seek Jesus for the right reasons and those who seek him for the wrong reasons. And today in our story, we will see characters who seek Jesus for the right way and those who seek him for the wrong way. Today we are in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, going through verse 12. And this story is about the visit of the wise men to Jesus, something that many of you have probably heard many times if you've grown up in the church. These men came from the east, and they were seeking the King of the Jews. And much like many of us over the next several weeks, these men were seeking a very special gift, a most precious gift. And although they came from far away, they had hearts that truly sought to worship Jesus in truth. And by looking at how they came to worship our Lord, we can see the demonstration of true worship of Christ and how we are to do the same. So if you would, begin with me in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search out carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. As we read through this story, I hope that we will consider the following points. True worship of Christ at Christmas means that, one, we seek the King. Number two, we know the King. Number three, we worship the King. And number four, we obey the King. As we come to the text, we are introduced to this group of men called the wise men, or the magi in some of your translations. Verses 1 through 2 say, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Notice how the wise men come to Jerusalem and not to Bethlehem. The wise men did not go straight to where Jesus was, but instead were detoured and ended up meeting King Herod. The wise men came from the east, and some scholars have suggested that these men came to see Jesus more than likely a couple weeks or perhaps even a couple months after Jesus had been born. And we might not know exactly where these men came from, but it is possible that these men come from the same tradition as the magi and the wise men that the prophet Daniel would have encountered during his time in Babylon when the people of Israel were exiled from their land. Some of you have been here each Sunday morning for Sunday school. We've been talking about the exiles. We've been talking about the return. So during that period of time, there was a lot of interaction between the people of Israel and God's word and the surrounding nations. And so many Bible scholars have said that this might be the reason why these wise men were knew of this prophecy and knew of this story, because there had been interaction between God's people and the other nations. This would explain their knowledge of the prophecy that a king was to be born in Israel and that a star would be the sign of his birth. You see, these wise men were astronomers, and so that means that they studied the stars, which was a common practice in the East. And what we see in the lives of these wise men is the dedication to not only learn and read about the stars and prophecy, but also the dedication and the willingness to journey to Jerusalem in search for this king. Now, God was ultimately the one who drew these men to his son. And we know that year after year, Christmas is a time when many of our friends, our family, and our coworkers will be exposed to the gospel in some way. This is a special time of year where people are hurting and they need hope, they need celebration, they need a reason for joy. And it might be a billboard or a commercial or a song that declares Jesus as king. However, many times people are repulsed by the idea of Jesus because they hear about this king who brings peace and who teaches his followers to love one another and to give to those in need, and yet, as we've kind of already discussed, they look around and they see a culture that is obsessed with receiving gifts and who only look out for themselves rather than others. And the reason for this unfortunate state is because this is how those outside of Christ, and sadly even some Christians, can act when we stop seeking the one who is worthy of all praise during Christmas. In our lives, we can be tempted to place Christ at the back burner because we might feel like there is nothing new about the same old story that we've heard many, many times. And this Christmas season, let us learn from these wise men that our hearts should seek the king rather than gifts. In the lives of these wise men, we see their devotion to see Jesus, which demonstrates their willingness to go into a foreign land to seek the king. Instead of letting our passion for Christ burn out, we should ignite the fire of our faith by remembering that when Christ was born, that there were those who were willing to travel many miles just to get a glimpse of our Lord. These men were not from Israel, but they heard of this prophecy, of this star. And they heard and they knew that this was a sign that a king had been born. And so they took the initiative to search him out, to go see, who is this king? Is he really going to bring all the things that the prophecies say? Let's go and find him. Let's search for him. Let's seek him. Now we have access to the word of God. So then how much more on fire should we be when telling others the reason for joy during this season? If we are in Christ, then we should truly worship Christ by seeking him and telling others how they can do the same. Next in our story, we turn to the wise men as they journey to know the king. In the next section, the wise men meet King Herod, and we see the difference between those who seek Jesus for the right reasons and those who seek Jesus for the wrong reasons. In verse 3, it says, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Now, if you remember earlier, the wise men said that they knew the king had been born because they saw the star in the sky. But when Herod asks the scribes and priests about the prophecy of a Jewish king, they quote Micah 5:2. And Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." That's directly from Micah 5:2. Now, if you notice in this prophecy, Micah is absolutely speaking about Jesus, but he never mentions a star. So what prophecy has led these wise men to Jerusalem? And our answer is found in Numbers 24:17, which says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all of the sons of tumult," or chaos, all of the sons of chaos. Now this is key, because it explains why the wise men were allowed to come to Herod. The wise men knew that the king had been born because of this star from Numbers 24, but they were not able to find his exact location until they met Herod and heard the prophecy of Micah. So now the wise men not only knew that the king had been born, but they also knew where to go to find him, to Bethlehem specifically. But all is not well, because Herod is now very interested in knowing about this king of the Jews. He says in verses 7 and 8, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.'" You see, Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus at all. Herod had a reputation not only for his keen administration, but also for his wickedness and his cruelty. Augustus, the Roman emperor, had said of Herod that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was safer to be Herod's own son. Herod the Great was not a king who wished to share power, and he was willing to go to any lengths to protect it. Today, there are those who use Jesus as little more than a marketing ploy to sell their holiday merchandise, or who speak about Jesus to earn the respect of Christians during the holiday season. It seems in our broader culture that loving Jesus is fine as long as it is done properly once a year at Christmas. And this is a sad reality for some. What we see here in this verse is a distinction between two groups of people: those who seek to know the King for the right reason and those who seek to know him for the wrong reason. Herod seeks Jesus not to know the King, but to kill the King. The wise men, on the other hand, seek to know the King that they might worship the King. As believers, we live in a culture that seeks Jesus during this season for all types of reasons. Perhaps there are those who think they need to become more spiritual, and others might think that Jesus will bring them blessing into their life. If we fall into this way of thinking, then we will spend our Christmas season looking for things other than our Lord. It is not the magic of the season that brings people together, but rather the blessing of Jesus' birth that shines light and love into our dark world. For it is in Christ that we see all the righteous attributes that our world so desperately craves, traits like generosity, peace, love, communion with God the Father, and ultimately salvation from our sinful and wicked state. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the stories of A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life. There are many holiday stories that wonderfully express the traits I have described. However, the ultimate fulfillment of these traits is found in Christ alone. The most beautiful Christmas story on Hallmark that you can think of does not hold a candle to the Son of God being born in a manger that he might one day die for the sins of the whole world. And this is why it is so important for God's people to know the King, so that others might know him too. During this Christmas season, I want to encourage all of us to live in a way that shows how to seek to know the King for the right reasons. To know the King means that we know that he is the rightful ruler of all. To know him means that we know his word and how it proclaims that Jesus is our Savior. To know him means that we can tell others about how he has saved us and given us new life. True worship of Christ at Christmas is to know him. And next, we will turn to how we are supposed to worship him. Many Christmases ago, we were celebrating together, and my parents brought out this big Christmas present. And I opened it up, and I discovered a video game system called the Xbox 360. I know that to some of you, that may mean absolutely nothing at all, just a bunch of random numbers and letters. And I want to say I was about 9 or 10, maybe 11 years old. And to 11-year-old Sam, it was like heaven had opened up. It was like the greatest gift I had ever received was sitting before me. I was ecstatic. I was so excited. I could not believe they had bought me something so cool. I was jumping up and down and yelling and screaming, and we assembled it and got it plugged in and got everything up and running. If there was ever a picture of joy, that moment captured it. But do you know that as happy as I was playing games on my 360, eventually, as time wore on, the joy faded. The 360 gathered dust, life got really busy, and eventually video games became less of a priority to me. Now, every once in a while, I'll get a chance to play with my friends, and it's still really fun. I still really enjoy it. But the true joy that we find in worshiping our Lord, it never gets old. You see, when we come to celebrate Jesus this Christmas, our joy should look like me when I opened up that 360. This Christmas, we should be ecstatic when we celebrate the coming of our salvation. For it is Christ who makes this season merry indeed. As we consider the wise men's worship of Christ, we see an example of how we should worship him this Christmas season. In the next section, we see a quick interaction between the wise men and Herod in verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now Herod orders the wise men to report back to him once they have found the baby, and yet there is nothing in the text that states that they agreed to do this for him. I thought that was a very interesting observation. This will be very important later in the passage that they didn't do that. And also observe how the wise men react when they were close to seeing Jesus. Verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed, or they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The wise men were so full of joy when they saw that the king was near, just knowing that they were coming to see him, just knowing that he's there, we're about to see the king. They were filled with joy. And there is no doubt from this description how happy they were to see him. Look also in verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they come to Jesus, they fall down on their faces and they worship him. They give gifts to Jesus to honor him. Everything they do is out of love and devotion to him. This is the posture that we should have when we come to Jesus during Christmas. Many of people have pointed out the symbolic meaning behind each of these gifts. Gold being a symbol of royalty. Frankincense being a symbol of deity, a symbol of God, because in the temple they would burn frankincense, and so there's this connection between frankincense and God's presence. So gold being royalty, frankincense being a symbol of deity, and then myrrh being a symbol of death, because this type of perfume would have been used during burial rituals. And while these are all really nice ways to reinforce the reality that Jesus is king, he is God, and he is the sacrificial lamb, I think that there is an even greater reality that we can glean from this. These wise men, they give these gifts to Jesus, and this shows the reality of their devotion to him. And what I mean by this is that these gifts were not only special because they were expensive, but rather they were expressions of sacrifice. I love the way that theologian John Piper has expressed this idea, and I am paraphrasing him here. He says that the wise men are showing Jesus that he is the true treasure, not these gifts. All of these things are being offered to him because he is the true treasure. You see, the act of them laying these things at his feet are an act of worship. And this is why this Christmas we must worship the king. And when we worship the king, we must remember to lay down the things that seek to grab our attention by turning our attention to the worship of Christ. When we turn our attention to Christ, we lay down the materialism that drives our culture. We lay down traditions which ultimately pale in importance and respect to Christ. We lay down bitterness towards others and allow the love of Christ to lead us in reaching out and showing his love to others. Like the wise men, we show Christ our true worship when we sacrifice the things that the world calls important in order that we might lift up the name of Christ. And when we do this, he enables joy in us that doesn't fade with time, but rather grows deeper and stronger. So as we come into the Christmas season, let us remind ourselves and our families and all those that we know that Jesus is worthy to be praised with everything that we have. Let us make time to worship Christ with our families and praise him for his birth, which fulfilled prophecy and gave hope to the world. This season is a time to remember that all of the good that we have in our lives is because of Christ alone. All of the wonderful things that you will do over the holidays with your family is because of Christ. He is the one who brings peace. He is the one who brings joy. He is the one who brings salvation. And true worship of Christ at Christmas means that we worship the King, for he is worthy of all worship. And in the final part of our story, we will see how the wise men worship Christ through their obedience to him. The wise men were commanded by Herod to return to him, and yet they choose to obey God rather than obey Herod. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now remember, just a moment ago, we talked about how the text earlier had never said that the wise man had ever agreed to report back to Herod. He had kind of ordered them, and they just left. Now here in verse 12, we read that the wise men are visited in a dream and told not to go back to Herod. And so then the wise men now have a direct command from God not to return. And just in case they were feeling uneasy about what to do, now they know for sure. Do not go back. And this must have been something that would have been very scary for them, because Herod was a dangerous and wicked king. We already talked about he had a reputation for being wicked and ruthless, and so disobeying him would have been a death sentence. And yet, the wise men choose to obey God rather than to allow fear to drive their decision. And I think this speaks to the heart of these men. They had journeyed to find the king. They had confirmed that this was, in fact, the king that was prophesied. They worshiped the king by honoring him with their gifts, and now they choose to obey the king. And how appropriate it is in the story about the birth of our Lord that those who are shown as an example for us end the story by showing a picture of true worship through their obedience. Each year, we celebrate Christmas, and it can feel as though we are fighting an uphill battle against the influences of our culture that tell us to acknowledge earthly power and to forget about our heavenly King. Besides, Jesus is only relevant if he can be packaged and sold, right? And this is because in our world, money talks. As we have already discussed, money is a major factor in the holiday season. And for many, a savior from Bethlehem is not important because he has nothing to physically offer. But to be a true worshiper of Christ at Christmas means that we obediently continue to proclaim that Jesus is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. We do this when we acknowledge that he is the center of all our affection because he is worthy of all of our praise. We are not simply being obedient by retelling his story, but by participating in the celebration of the coming of the Messiah. Obedience is not simply tradition, but it is an active and lively expression of our hearts toward God. And during this season, let us be the liveliest people among our peers, for we have the most to be thankful for. True worship of the King at Christmas means that obedience to the King is our priority. While the world chases after things that those in power deem as important, let us be obedient to the King who came into the world as a babe, born in a manger, not surrounded by riches and wealth, but rather animals and hay in a stable. Let us be obedient to the one who came to set the captives free and proclaim salvation through his death on the cross. This child, this Jesus who the wise men came to see, let him be the one who we humbly and obediently bow to this Christmas season. Not for gain or for blessings or for any other reason than that he is simply our King who is worthy of our true worship. So this Christmas, let us obey Christ rather than the world. Christ tells us to give rather than to receive. Christ tells us to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses. Christ tells us to follow him. Rather than listening to the world that will tell you about what gift you should be buying or what song you should be listening to on the radio or perhaps what holiday movie to watch, let us instead obey Christ by living our lives in obedience to his word. In the lives of the wise men, we see an example of true worship of Christ at Christmas. And this should be our goal this year and every year. Oftentimes, we complicate things by thinking that revival will come when some major event happens in our lives. We look for a major shift in culture or politics to be the determining factor in what will turn people's hearts back to God. And as we come to the close of this year, I would like to encourage each of you that no matter the circumstances you find yourself in, to know that God moves in power when his people faithfully worship him in spirit and in truth. When our focus is on our King rather than our things or traditions, this time of year is truly transformed from just another festive season to a truly holy day. Christ is the reason for the season, and so, like the wise men in the Gospels, let us show true worship of Christ by seeking him, by knowing him, by worshiping him, and by obeying him. God bless you all. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we declared through the songs that we sang today as the body, Lord, as we read this story and see how these men came to seek you and to know you, to worship you, to obey you, that we, Lord, would do the same, that we would remember, Lord, this is what you require of us, obedience, Lord, rather than sacrifice. Lord, that we would remember when celebrating with our loved ones, Lord, that the love that is present in our homes is because of you, Lord, and that this is the love that our dying world needs so very badly, Lord, because so many do not have your love in their home. We pray for our land. We pray for our leaders. We pray that this Christmas, Lord, we might be a light in telling others of the joy in you, Lord, that salvation has come to the world. It is in Jesus' holy and mighty name that I pray. Amen.